Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, an exclusive conversation with the great Alex Marlowe, editor-in-chief of Breitbart News. Phenomenal conversation. Email us your questions, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. We're going to get back to our Ask Me Anything Mondays. It's just been, let's just say, a complicated couple weeks for our country. We'll get back into the saddle on that soon. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com or join us in Palm Beach with 5,000 of our closest friends. tpusa.com/SAS. Alex Marlowe is here. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Alex Marlowe is one of the smartest and sharpest minds out there, editor-in-chief of Breitbart.com, Breitbart News. Alex, welcome. I'm going to just let you have the floor. What are you seeing right now that you think people are missing? How do you think things are trending as it is right now?
Yeah, it's really interesting because today was an encouraging day. And I think what we're seeing in Michigan is really encouraging for people because it shows you that at a minimum, we're not taking crazy pills when people in MAGA country are seeing all this fraud or alleged fraud or possible fraud. And we've been expecting all of this because if you read Breitbart or if you listen to any of our radio shows or if you listen to Charlie, if you listen to really anyone who's paying attention at all, the left was always going to try to steal this election. How do we know that? Because they think Trump is literally Nazi. And they think his supporters are literal Klans members. If you thought you were going up against literal Nazis, you'd try to steal the election too. So we always knew they were going to try to steal it. And then they told us when they clearly changed all the rules. And let's admit, if the rules were exactly the same as 2016 or 2018, of course Trump would have won. Can we all be honest and admit that? If the rules were the same, he would have won in the exact same climate. So the rules change, and lo and behold, Joe Biden gets 14, 15 million more votes than Barack Obama ever got. Needless to say, something's up. Now, is it that level of cheating that necessarily means the whole thing was rigged or fraud and we have to throw it all out? Maybe. We don't know. But the fact that when we asked questions, they tried to throw us off the internet and call us conspiracy theorists and they censored us all on social media and locked us out of our accounts, that's insane to me. And now after what we're seeing over the last couple of days, we're realizing smart, sensible people who are tasked with investigating these things are starting to come out with some clear examples of the fraud. Enough fraud to overturn the election? We don't know yet, but there are clear examples that are coming out.
But even if it was marginal fraud, these elections are marginal victories, allegedly, for Biden, right? I mean, we're looking at this at a state-by-state basis. You're looking at tens of thousands of votes. So precinct by precinct, if just there's five votes per precinct that are fraudulent, signature not verified. For example, yeah. In Georgia, if you just look at the absentee ballot issue, you had more absentee ballots than ever before by about like 500,000, right? An insane amount of absentee ballots because they fear-mongered around the virus,
yeah,
and then a lower threshold to verify it. Just looking at a simple mathematical analysis, it's 50,000 votes that otherwise would have been thrown out in any other election year. But you're not allowed to talk about that. We have the thought police that you're not allowed to think a certain thing. Sit down and shut up, citizen. Everyone loves Joe Biden. Didn't you know that? He's super popular, and now he's going to be a great president. If you disagree with us, we're kicking you off the internet. And I actually think it's
– we're all going to have unity and healing once they're done calling us Nazis.
After we all get punished and audited and kicked off the internet and deplatformed, demonetized, we're going to love the new America in the virtual gulags. But Alex, what I wanted to ask you though is, I think it's having the opposite effect. I think it's similar to the Hunter Biden laptop. I think it's having the Streisand effect, actually, because I have more normal people, and I mean normal people, on flights, on airplanes, stewardesses, you know, restaurants that are coming up to me. They're like, they stole this thing. And it's a completely different reaction than I think that the Malibu people that work for the New York Times would have realized.
Yeah, it doesn't. There's too many things that don't make sense. As we mentioned, the discrepancy with all of the Biden votes versus the Trump votes is a big thing, and the Biden votes versus the Obama votes. The president had a pretty interesting tweet noting that at 3:42 in the morning, all of a sudden we got the biggest dump in the history of votes in Wisconsin. It was 143,000 votes for Biden that came in at 3:42. All of a sudden, it was during the 90-minute window that I was sleeping that night when no one's paying attention. And now all of a sudden, a state where Trump is way ahead, now he's losing. And we're supposed to just accept this in all of these states. It doesn't make any sense. Charlie, are there any Republicans accusing Democrats of are there any Democrats accusing Republicans of fraud that you know of?
Well, when they do, they get what they want, like that North Carolina special election. They asked for a revote, sure, and they got it, and it was unsubstantiated. But no, in this election, absolutely not.
Exactly. So why are all of us, why does the half of the country think that this thing was rigged? If you poll Republicans, the vast majority of Republicans think there was at least some level of tampering with the election. But we're also, if you watch CNN, if you even dare to ask questions, and all of a sudden you're one of the worst people on earth. I can't tell you, it's pretty much universal. I don't think I've heard from a single person who isn't actively rooting against President Trump and wasn't rooting against President Trump before the election, who doesn't think something funky went on here and wants to get to the bottom of it. But I'll tell you, I take a lot of callers on radio. You've been kind enough to fill in for me from time to time, and you know this, and they're very smart, sensible people, and they're good, decent people, and they just want to know if this thing was fair. Of course they want Trump to win. I'm not lying to you about that, but they definitely want to know this thing was fair. And everything we're learning, the more time we spend on it, there's just too many holes in the logic that the left has. And we got a big story out right now on Breitbart where we kind of break down Rudy's press conference today and the stuff he broke down. There's like 9 examples of potential fraud, like 9. So even if you don't think the Dominion thing is convincing, even if you don't think the fact that the people were observing the count from 1,000 feet away, if you don't think that's convincing, then how about how voters allegedly arrived at the polls to discover other people had voted for them? That's interesting. And now there's affidavits that show that. How about election officials were allegedly being told that there were defects in ballots and to backdate ballots? So that's kind of weird. Can we ask those questions before we start announcing this thing is over? How about ballots casted for Joe Biden and no other candidates that were allegedly run several times through the voting machines? Why would you run something several times through the voting machines? That's very strange. Can we at least answer these questions before we certify anything?
Well, and the list here is 9 key points from Trump campaign press conference. I encourage everyone to go to Breitbart.com. It's your lead. 12,000 comments, Alex. That's pretty impressive. Your traffic must be very good. Congratulations. And some of them are.
It's huge. It's record levels. And thanks to you, Charlie. We love our allies in the media who help support us.
Yeah. And it's well deserved. And it's, look, one of these here is voting machines and software are allegedly owned by companies with ties to the Venezuelan regime and left wing donor George Soros. The Constitution provides for a process for electing a president if the vote is corrupted, which I thought that was really good. Jenna Ellis brought up Federalist 68. I thought that was actually a really, really good argument. And I haven't heard that one thrown around very often.
Yeah, well, because people are being cautious, because this is the type of stuff that gets you censored, then you can't post at all. We talked about it internally at Breitbart, but it was kind of premature to put it out there that this is how some of these things are dealt with. And that's why when you look at what happened with Michigan, where these Republicans didn't want to certify the vote, they were literally told they're going to hell and their children and grandchildren are going to get harassed if they don't certify it. They changed their mind. Now they want to change their mind back. We heard just now from the Secretary of State in Michigan, you're not allowed apparently to change your mind and uncertify a vote that you didn't want to certify to begin with. You got bullied into certifying. This stuff is all so crazy. And we're all acting like this is all normal. This is all perfectly normal. Just like when Biden slurs his words and can't speak and his jaw falls out of his head. That's all super normal. We're just getting lied to constantly by our media. And we have a right to know the answers to these things.
You may not know this about me, but I'm kind of an undercover nerd when it comes to studying the global economy. I love seeking out financial wisdom when it comes to my own portfolio. I value precious metals. Noble Gold is the only firm I trust to buy gold and silver from, which can serve as a hedge of protection in your IRA. First reason, they are a U.S.-based company. Supporting American businesses is so important. Second reason, Noble Gold has impeccable online reviews. A great online reputation is a must if you're going to trust the team's financial counsel. Third reason, Noble Gold has an experienced staff who works hard to make life easy for you. Any paperwork that might pop up takes less than 5 minutes to complete. Maybe it's just an old 401k that needs a home. Maybe you're just like me and you're curious about your options. If so, grab a free gold guide by visiting NobleGoldInvestments.com to learn more. I respect this team and you should as well. Call Noble Gold right now. Tell them you heard about investing on my show and they'll find the right plan for your budget. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. NobleGoldInvestments.com. kirk.com. Here's the difficulty, the trouble that we're headed towards, and this is why this fight is so important. And my favorite question I get, Alex, I love this question. We get it all the time. People are emailing us, freedom@charliekirk.com. They say, so do you think we're going to win? I say, it's a completely irrelevant question. It's absolutely irrelevant. I mean, the probability of victory has nothing to do with whether or not you actually fight in this moment. None. The question is whether or not you're pursuing an ultimate moral good for a civilization that is worth defending. If we lose, then so what? Then we lost. You don't judge your involvement based on whether or not. I mean, I look to some of the heroes in American history, specifically the heroes that stormed Normandy Beach. If they weighed their odds as they went to the Omaha sector on Normandy Beach, they would not have come back with very good odds that day when 3,000 Americans lost their lives. However, they did that because they understood the struggle that was at hand to defend the West and to defeat evil. Now, I'm not comparing the fight for voter fraud against the invasion of Normandy Beach because I get to see the Media Matters article right now. What I am saying, is that when you pursue a moral good, the probability of victory needs to be dismissed because we don't know how this is going to play out. But what we do know is that we are uncovering probably generations of corruption that they've been able to get away with that no politician had dared call out before.
Everyone knows it's so well put, Charlie. Everyone knows MAGA had a super strong night, second most highest vote total for a president ever, most for an incumbent ever, and they won virtually every other contested race. Period. Everyone knows the MAGA values are ascendant, huge gains in minority communities, huge gains in places where the media said it was impossible to make gains. So, what are we going to get? Are we going to get Donald Trump for another 4 years, which I would love? Or are we going to get a very weak Joe Biden? These are not a doomsday. This is not a doomsday scenario for people with our values. But what is a doomsday scenario is if they cheat in Georgia and Biden gets a Senate and then he can do wild immigration reform, for example, change the electorate as we know it, do a mass amnesty. We need to make sure that things get tighter on the electoral front, not looser. And if you think if they get away with this without us putting up a fight in this time, when we know they tampered with it to some degree, then they're just going to do more and more and more once they achieve power. And so that's the thing that I'm concerned about even more. Of course, I want Donald Trump to win very badly. But your point about how this is a broader thing, you can't run a republic like this. No. A republic cannot function in this way with this level of chaos for too long. And the public is with us, Charlie. There's a big poll today we had that the president tweeted that John Nolte wrote up, 17,000 comments on this one. Only 50% of likely voters say the 2020 election was not stolen by Democrats. 47% said that it's likely Democrats stole the election. These are polls, and this is an amazing thing that Rasmussen put out. A whopping 47% of likely voters believe Democrats stole the election. It's Rasmussen. I mean, this is not an unknown guy. He's on the right, but this is a known quantity who's out there saying people think this is totally bogus.
Well, here you play this out. When people lose faith in the process of which you actually put leaders into power, then they will then lose trust in the system that they oversee, and with it, the entire country as well. This is how you get disintegration, right? And this is what has always made the American system different, is because of a state-by-state model, because states certify elections, it was always harder to corrupt the system, right? You had to win a lot of DA races. You had to get them on the same kind of playbook. This was actually one of the few opportunities, I think, in the last 40 years, 50 years since 1960, where they had an opportunity to pull this off. And here's why. Number one, the DAs were put in place strategically because of George Soros and Tom Steyer funded efforts. They actually institutionally took over these positions, right? The DAs and the county recorders and who actually counts the ballots, they made a point to fund these races that are usually underfunded, and they're stepping stone races. That's what I call them. They're people that want to be governor, they want to be a senator, they want to be something else. So you go count votes. Like, okay, it's super vanilla. You go do that. No one cares. There's no like special way to do it. But then the Democrats started to care about process even more than politics. Like, how do we actually do this, the mechanization of politics? That's number one. Number two, the reason they were able to get all these different levels of government agreeing to the same thing is because of Trump. It's because Trump actually represented the greatest potential death blow to the American left. That's how they were able to get all these different people from across the country to agree to cut corners. Sure. because all of a sudden Kim Fox has a lot in common with Mayor Eric Garcetti. I'm just using a non-election example, because they hate Trump that much. And this is their great call to action, because Alex, this is the third part. I should say it's three parts. And you said it so perfectly. If you and I actually believed that Benito Mussolini was running the White House, I would be encouraging cheating. Let me be clear.
If I thought
Benito Mussolini was running the White House, I would be actively involved in cheating, and I would morally defend it under my Christian ethic. I don't, and it's not. But when you convince yourself of this, don't be surprised when they start to do stuff like this.
Right. Exactly. And this is why they can't simultaneously be a part of the resistance for 4 years, Charlie. They literally call themselves the resistance. And then they tell us we can't have like 25 days to figure out what's going on. I mean, it's so ridiculous. They still haven't accepted the last election. Stacey Abrams was out there today acting like she was a big class act. She still never conceded her governor race in Georgia. So these people, Saint Stacey. And then, you know, it's so we laugh so we don't cry. But this is
correct.
Super high stakes. This is super high stakes, and people need to get involved, and they need to be very vocal with people in their lives. It's not enough just to be passive here. Now, I'll tell you about these DA races you mentioned. This has been Soros's pet project for decades, and he's ahead of us on this by a mile. And we need to build an institution where there are terrific candidates getting groomed for those down ticket races with terrific values and great stand up character. And we need to be that organized. The left has always been that organized. The right is not nearly that organized. And you know what's scarier to me, Charlie? It's not the people, the Gavin Newsoms and the Kamala Harrises and the Joe Bidens, who don't really have much of a ideological viewpoint, and you're just trying to get ahead in Democrat politics. It scares me the people who are content to be down there and to be unknown and to just chip away and do the pick and shovel work for the far left globalist movement for 30 years. And those people make a huge contribution to the leftist takeover of our institutions. They're doing our corporations as well. A lot of these people want to be anonymous. They don't want to be heroes. Some of them do. Stacey Abrams wants to be a hero. We know that. But there are a lot of people out there who don't want to be heroes. They just want to make the country more leftist or more globalist or both. And that to me is almost the scariest thing.
Well, and it's the long march through the institutions, which was actually a slogan that was originally written by a communist student, Rudy Dutsky or something. Dutsky, we'll get the exact name. It was back in the 60s where it was his idea that you must be relentlessly patient in the process of taking over pre-existing Western institutions. Now, the problem for the Democrats is that the American system is really, really hard to create a revolution in. It's really hard. The founders created it as such. You have to have a really good idea for a long period of time in a lot of different pockets of the country and not make mistakes and not be too radical to be able to effectuate change. For example, the Civil Rights Act, a great idea, but it took a long period of time because you had to win people over, be relentless, and then eventually you get it into a constitutional amendment. Whereas the ideas that Democrats are trying to push forward, there's going to be a check and balance against it. There just inevitably will. And I want you to talk about this, Alex, which is you said MAGA had a great night. Not only did MAGA have a great night, it had the best night in the history of almost Republican politics in recent memory.
Right.
Better than 2016. We won more Hispanic voters, more Black voters, more married women voters. We did great in Miami-Dade County. We did well everywhere. We did better in Chicago, better in Beverly Hills, better in Washington, D.C. We did better in New York City. We did better in Suffolk County. We did better in Sussex County. We did better in Long Island. We did better in upstate New York. There's only a couple pockets where we did worse. Conveniently, the places that were the centers of power that would determine the election, where the candidate didn't campaign. They had no ground game, no campaign.
Which is a total coincidence. It's 100% coincidence.
No, and if you and dare
if you say
question
it's not
it,
a coincidence, Charlie, you're a
racist.
Threat to democracy.
Yeah, that's right. You're a racist, and democracy doesn't die in darkness, and you're an awful person. And so
that's right.
But can you talk about how now we are supposed to process – like what – you have the Chamber of Commerce gatekeepers that came out today. They said – Trump, sit down, shut up. You lost. Open the borders. Yeah. Get us our visas back.
Right.
Can you now tell us this was a victory for Trump, whether or not he gets sworn in on the 20th of January? That's the lesson of what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily go that far. I would go almost that far. I agree with it, pretty much everything you said, other than Trump is a winner. Trump is not used to losing. He doesn't like losing. And even if he lost on a technicality, I know that's going to dog him. And especially because they're going to try to keep hurting him, and they're going to try to punish that's America correct. For electing him to begin with. And so I think it's going to be a long 4 years for the president in some ways if he does not pull this thing out. And if he does pull it out, we know it's going to be a long 4 years because yeah. the last four weren't exactly a cakewalk for the man. So and I think this is important to really internalize this, that they want to punish this man for as long as he walks on the planet. And if those folks in Michigan are any indication, they're going to try to punish his children and even his grandchildren.
Right.
And not for anything they've done on their own, just for being related to Donald Trump, the same way so many of us have been punished, not just for supporting Trump, but insufficient Trump hatred is grounds for cancellation in certain industries like Hollywood. If you don't hate Trump enough, then they throw you out of Hollywood basically these days, unless you keep your mouth shut. So it's going to be but the values are solid. The values are ascendant. And I think that that's what is very encouraging. But it is not just about the values, unfortunately. It is also about community organizing. We mock Barack Obama for this.
I know.
And this is how he kicked our butt twice. And this is how Joe Biden is even in a position to maybe pull this out, is because the Democrats were so focused on getting out their vote, and MAGA did all they could, set records, and it still might not be enough. And that is something that needs to be a 4-year project for anyone who wants to see MAGA get bigger.
Well, and what I meant by Trump is a victor, regardless of that, is that he is now as consequential of a president as FDR and in the 20th century. FDR was so consequential. Everything that happened yeah. for the next 20 years was almost all centered around FDR's politics, right? He was such a big deal. The Republican Party had to reinvent itself post FDR. The Democrat Party, he was so powerful. He was so transformational, I think, for the worse in some ways. I think he did a fine job, you know, overseeing World War II. But he really changed the Democrat Party. They are still reaping the benefits of some of what FDR did in the Democrat Party politically. I think Trump will be no different in the sense that post-presidency Trump, if that happens, which I really don't hope, I hope it doesn't.
Yes.
And is that he's not going away. I mean, it's just they will punish every single person that dared associate with them. They'll deplatform right. if you dare mention him. And it's going to be it's going to be a test of Republicans whether or not they want to have the courage of their convictions to actually continue to stand with what he has done. Has this election cycle gotten you stressed out, worn down? If so, time to bounce back. What's the number one mineral to fight stress and fatigue? Magnesium. Before I even signed Bio-Optimizers, by the way, I have to tell you, I've been using magnesium before I go to sleep every night. It totally works. It's amazing. And there's no bad side effects. You wake up with so much energy. I want you to try a new dietary supplement of veggie capsules with me called Magnesium Breakthrough from my friends of the show, Bio-Optimizers. This is the magnesium supplement I recommend because it combines all 7 essential forms of magnesium into one convenient daily dosage. Most magnesium supplements fail because they are not full spectrum. When you get all 7 critical forms of magnesium, so many functions in your body can get upgraded. The supplements are designed to enhance focus, sleep, reduce inflammation, and improve your body's reaction to stress. It's really worked for me, so check out Magnesium Breakthrough with me. Take 2 pills a day with your evening meal, and you can reverse magnesium deficiency in all of its forms. Use promo code KIRK10 for 10% off any order. Go to biooptimizers.com/KIRK. That's biooptimizers.com/KIRK. Then use the promo code KIRK10 to apply the discount. So, Alex, can you now walk through the process now of what it would take for President Trump to win at this moment? I believe there's still a path. You have 9 of these that Rudy laid out. I feel better. And interestingly enough, the betting markets moved 3% in Trump's favor today after that press conference.
Yeah.
Again, scientific, but that's something. Can you walk through what the process would be for a second Trump term, how that would happen?
So he's got it. If you look at the map, and I don't have it in front of me, but there are 6 states they're looking at, and I think there's hope in most of them. Nevada is 6 electoral votes, and I don't really see that one as close enough. So I wouldn't have that on my list. Until the last 36 hours, I was looking at he needs to make something happen in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, there's still a significant level of hope because you never know. The Supreme Court could literally throw out huge portions of the vote because they told them specifically, you need to make clear when these vote by mail votes came in. And if they came in late, then they might not necessarily let them count, because this was a last minute rule because of the pandemic that you could count mail in votes 3 days after the election. That's a total absurdity. And the Supreme Court very well could throw that out. Not to mention there's going to be a ton of fraud uncovered in Philadelphia. But the problem is in Pennsylvania, Biden's lead right now is 150,000. So I would not put that in an overly rosy camp, but I would say there's a good 10 to 20% chance that that thing, at least at a minimum, would have to go to a revote, which would be insane, and the country would descend into total chaos. So I'm not shining that part on, but that is still a possibility, because if a certain level of shenanigans comes out, then that's a possibility. So now there's three other states on my list that have been on my list that are very narrow and potentially with an audit, not with a recount per se, because a recount, you just could be counting the same fraudulent votes. But Wisconsin, Georgia, and Arizona are all within 20,000 votes. And with an audit, you could conceivably see some widespread patterns in the vote that show that there are some elements that are clearly extra legal, shall we say. Mm-hmm. And if they are able to determine enough of a pattern, those states could either go to a revote, or certain counties could not get certified, or perhaps there are a certain number of votes that get crossed out. Like we saw all these Georgia votes in Arizona, both of those states got closer with this the last batch of ballots that came in for President Trump. So there's a certain amount of optimism there. So and then last but not least is Michigan, where now it's total chaos there, where they don't want to certify the votes in the biggest county. The Republicans don't. So it'll get kicked to a state auditor who will, again, it's a bipartisan thing. And if the bipartisan committee doesn't certify it there, then it goes to the state house, which is controlled by Republicans. So you never know in Michigan as well. So basically, he for sure needs Pennsylvania. So they need to determine widespread fraud. He needs to make huge progress in one to two of those three states that are on a knife's edge in terms of demonstrating at least enough impropriety to have a revote, or you cover the 20,000 vote gap. And then the outlier is Michigan, where I had written off until 2 days ago. But now after what we saw in Wayne County, I think that's back in play to some degree, too. I know it's wildly complicated. It is wildly complicated, and it is not something where people should get their hopes up too high. But we're not out of the fight yet if you're on the side of the president.
So, Alex, can you also comment on some of the issues that Sidney Powell has been raising? We got a ton of questions, thousands and thousands of questions. The Venezuelan thing, the Dominion voting systems, Hammer scorecard. Can you help build some of this stuff out? I really respect your, opinion.
Yeah. So I'll be honest with you on some of this. This is some of the stuff where I think I'm not going to give you a totally satisfying answer. I've not dug into Hammer and scorecard too much. My initial kind of dive into it did not let me think that is going to. It might be a long-term thing to look into, but I don't get the impression that is going to play a big role in this particular election. I could be totally wrong, and I could get roasted in the comments, which is fine. But I hadn't dug into that one too much because my initial impression was this is stuff that if it's going to get sorted out, they're supposed to certify the vote on December 8th. So we got a ticking clock here, and that's not one where you're going to get the public to sort out by then. So the Dominion voting systems is interesting. And there's discussion of it being used potentially by Maduro in terms of him using it to rig elections. But this isn't necessarily this is one where I do think Dominion is weird, but not again. I don't think the fact that it could be emanated in foreign outlets or some of the votes are counted overseas, that's all stuff that's terrible and we should stop it. But it's not going to nullify three or four states, unless we figure out that Dominion was literally flipping thousands of votes at a time, which Sidney Powell is going to have to show evidence of that. So that's one where we got to wait for her to show us. So that it came from Venezuela, or that there's also a competitor with Dominion that used to be the same company, but now they're competitors. It's all very confusing, but all this stuff is not going to flip the election unless they demonstrate that it is flipping the election literally. So I think it's incredibly irresponsible that we're so sloppy with the way we count the vote. Seriously. And the fact that we're counting the vote overseas is something that people should have been aware of. This, they should have been on this, and this shouldn't be news to us after the fact. But unfortunately, the fact that it is news to us after the fact means I don't have my heart set on that being the deciding factor. But Dominion is weird, and people need to dig into it, and they need to dig into some of the discrepancies that we've seen from them.
Yeah, no doubt. And also, just we know that it changed 6,000 votes in Michigan. We know that.
That's right. That's the key point.
And so,
but is that a trap? Is that a trick that we sit there? We know that it flipped 6,000 votes. So Smartmatic is the one where they're actually competitive with Dominion, and people are thinking that they're like the same company, which shows you that everyone's confused by it, because it's not. Is that the Dominion used Smartmatic software is what people are telling me, but actually that Smartmatic's denied that, and actually they vie for the same business. So again, this is very muddied and is not going to get sorted out in time. What it is going to get sorted out in time is if Sidney Powell can point out it wasn't just the 6,000, it was 6,000 all over the place. If she can do that, then it's a big deal. But if not, then I think we're going to have to sort that out after.
And
probably.
That's a high threshold, right? So not saying that she can't do it. She is Sidney Powell's a friend of both of ours. I bet she's been on your program a lot. You guys have profiled her quite often. She doesn't really bluff. I mean, she's saying she has evidence. Oh.
No, she doesn't tend to bluff, and she's very well respected. I don't think I have interviewed her, actually, which is kind of surprising. But she's a very serious person, and she's not just a TV spokesperson. She's on Fox a lot, but she's not someone who is you can marginalize and write off. She's worked miracles in the past against incredible adversity. So that is something that's really got my audience and the Breitbart audience got their hopes up. There's no doubt about it, because of her reputation. Her reputation is so sterling that if she says she's got it and she's sticking her neck out there to the extent that she is, it makes you think she's got something. So the clock's ticking. We would love to see it, but you should be optimistic until you see what she's got.
So just breaking right now, Joe Biden has just relaunched his fundraising campaign called the Biden Fight Fund. They just relaunched it just to make sure that Trump doesn't win, is what they say right there. It's just a little bit of a crumb that they might be a little bit nervous about a couple things here and there.
It's interesting. I had a great conversation with the left-wing caller on my radio show today, which is on Sirius XM 6 to 9 on the Patriot Channel Eastern Time. That's 125 in case any of you want to tune in. I had a great conversation where I asked the guy after I talked to him for 5 minutes and he was kind of trying to roast me and heckle me. I said that you sound a little nervous. You sound like you don't think this thing's in the bag. I keep hearing on CNN it's over. And I even hear from, Jeb Bush and Mitt Romney that it's over. But I don't know. I don't think you think it's over. And this is a Georgia voter. And he's someone who did vote for Bush back in the day. And now he's a committed Biden guy. And it was interesting.
Well, they're not acting like winners. So when you win, do you go create a list of all your enemies when you win? Is that what you do? When you win the Trump Accountability Project, I know we've won. We've reclaimed government. I know what we're going to do. The Red Terror. That worked great.
So Charlie, I'm glad you brought up AOC and her list. And there's all these other lists as well. But I just think it's a silver lining of if Biden gets across is watching the left pick him apart. And he's going to be under huge pressure from the establishment, the pro-war side in Washington, from both parties, the John Kasich wing of the Democrat Party. And then you're going to get the AOC wing of the Democrat Party. Everything Biden does that isn't exactly what she wants is just going to get completely torched on social media. And it's going to be I can't wait. I mean, it's going to be a delight to watch.
Oh, well, and he stands for nothing. He made deals with everyone. And what is horrifying, I want to close with this, Alex. Talk about how scary it is and creepy it is. What's going to happen with big tech? You guys might be the most censored news site out there. You guys are invisible to Google. Here's what worries me, though, is that we wrongly label Democrats as socialists. AOC is, Rashida Tlaib is, but the power center is much more cronyist and much more fascist. Yeah. Where they're actually going to be merging multi-trillion dollar corporations with the federal government, where they're almost indistinguishable. And you kind of saw this with Dianne Feinstein at the Twitter Facebook hearing after she was screaming at Mark Zuckerberg, asking him why her printer wasn't working the last week. Yes. She then went and kind of was scolding him and was saying, why are you not doing more to go go after Donald Trump. And it kind of hit me. I said, Dianne Feinstein is acting as if Mark Zuckerberg is her Chinese driver. Like, she expects him to do the bidding of the Democrat Party, or even like, right, more nascent than that. They at least expect him to be like a government agency. They're treating him like a public utility. Now, there's arguments that some people on the right think that they should become public utilities. I think they're interesting. I think breaking them up is much better. But the point is that they now view tech as theirs. Like, it's no longer that they hate big companies. It's like, you are ours. Go after our political opponents.
Yeah, this is exactly, and the reason why is because they know these companies are so overwhelmingly on the left, that there were huge pushes within Google, for example, to get Breitbart demonetized and the platform so we can't make ad revenue. You know what goes on with conservatives and YouTube. And with Facebook, conservatives have done okay, even though we're harassed constantly. I was just dealing with a bogus, phony, baloney fact check that was sent my way right before I came on with you. It's a constant ducking and dodging of trying to defend accurate stories from the our competitors in the establishment media, who are the appointed Facebook fact checkers. In Twitter, we see what they're doing to the president right now, where they censored him 23 times in the last week, I think, and no Democrats. They don't censor Democrats. They just censor Trump. So, of course, their expectation is these guys are going to do everything they can to promote us. And Zuckerberg now, he's got this huge voting initiative that he's got out there, where he is going to Georgia. And why is he going out there? The big voting initiative to get Republicans elected. We know what he's doing. So it's kind of a surprise to them, where they just don't go all the way and just say, censor Breitbart, censor Donald Trump Jr., censor Eric Trump. Let's just be done with it. And that's what Richard Blumenthal, Da Nang Dick, the guy who claimed he was a Vietnam War hero and wasn't. He was lobbying Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey on the Hill this week, saying they need to be throwing Breitbart off the air, censoring us some more. And it's just unbelievable. Why? Because we're inaccurate. A guy who lied about being a war hero. We're the inaccurate ones. So this is what's so scary about giving the left power, because they just have this totalitarian streak, Charlie, which is just so wide. It's so – and what is the first thing they're going to crack down on? It's going to be speech, because they see our freedom as a huge threat to their values, which is trying to advance the left in this country. And once you understand that fundamental, if people take nothing away from the stuff I said over the last half hour, it just understand that that's what's at stake. The left really does want to silence you. I think if people are tuning in, they get it innately. But they think your freedom is secondary to their political victory. And once you get that, you it's hard to stay on the left.
Yeah. And the reason they don't like speech is that when you actually interface with someone who disagrees with you, if it doesn't go terribly wrong, which usually it doesn't, you actually end up having a thing called nuance. And you actually end up hating the other person's position a little less and seeing where they're coming from. And when you have nuance, then all of a sudden dogma dies. Then all of a sudden the religious aspect of the left kind of fades away, and it becomes a lot less fun to be a leftist, actually, where all of a sudden the kind of endless Olympic contest of who can be the most, you know, the most progressively transgender accepting, you know, BLM incorporated woke.
You mean pro-science.
Yeah, exactly. Person. It just kind of becomes a lot less interesting because you're like, well, maybe there are downsides to gender reassignment surgery for 2-year-olds. Like, shut up, racist. And that's the thing that they don't like about speech, is it actually kind of dulls the impact of the left wing blunt forced object that could possibly destroy Western society. And they're like, stop talking, because when you talk, all of a sudden you become way too moderate.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what, when people get exposed to our ideas, and you know this is what you're all about at Turning Point, what we're all about at Breitbart, and what our pals at PragerU are about. It's all that the more people get exposed to conservatism, the more they get convinced by it. I mean, how many people that are convert to leftism, is it not because of just because they get indoctrinated because they're in a bubble, or because they get bullied into it? People on the right come to it naturally, just by absorbing the information. And that's the left's greatest fear. And that's why they have to keep us under control, because the more free we are, the more we're going to vote against them. And that's not acceptable.
You can always tell who has truth based on almost instantaneous conversion stories. And you never hear of instantaneous conversion stories on the left. People become leftist because they're either indoctrinated or immersed around it. But people become on the right almost in a moment. Alex, how can people support you or get behind what you're doing?
Thank you for asking. Most importantly, go to Breitbart.com. We're experiencing record traffic, and it's all word of mouth. We don't advertise, so it's all you guys sharing our content on whatever is your social platform. Breitbart's pretty easy to find. I'm at Alex Marlowe on Twitter, at Marlowe News on Instagram, and Alex Marlowe Media on Facebook. I also host a radio show 6 to 9 a.m. on SiriusXM 125, The Patriot, also available on podcast and SiriusXM app. So any of those places. So we're all over the place, and come find us. Thank you.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win America's culture war on high school and college campuses across the country, go to tpusa.com, tpusa.com. Please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support, charliekirk.com/support, and email us your questions as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. God bless. Speak to you soon.